This is a recording with Elsha King on the 31st of August, 1992, at the Little House, on her memories of Albury Church. Elsha, let's start with you. Are you an Albury person, born and bred?
I was born and bred here. I don't think there are too many of us left now.
Of the people who actually lived
actually here born lives. Here. No, anyway, that I am. I went away for a while when I was married, and then my husband was killed at Alamein, and I came back to look after my parents, and I've been here ever since.
Where were you born? Not here, presumably.
I was born two houses up.
Really? Up on the heath?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, dare I ask how long ago that was?
I'm seven. Next week I shall be 79.
Now,
so it's a while.
Indeed it is. Now, all this time you've known Albury Church and presumably been a member of the congregation.
Well, yes and no. I worked in Guildford at the telephone manager's office, and when I was there, my visits to the church were a bit infrequent. When I was a child, I went regularly with my great aunt, who incidentally lived in this house, and that was fine. But when I went to work, you know, in one's middle life, one gets all sorts of bypassing activities which take up the little leisure that you have, and my weekends were a bit were not always spent at church. But anyway, when I retired, then I became a regular visitor there. Now, the flower part, which you're interested in, I was introduced to it by a lady, Pam Koshmay, who now unfortunately is in a nursing home. But she made me see flowers and their arrangement. And gradually, as some of the older members died out, younger ones, me, we stepped in and did the jobs which they had done before. Well, as you know, the flowers in the church are, we have the seasonal displays, Easter, Whitsun, Harvest Festival. Now, Harvest Festival is the crux of the whole thing. It's a festival in which we give back
the fruits
of our efforts. Some people do one thing, some do another. Those who love flowers do flower arranging. Those who grow fruit produce the fruit. The farmers produce the sheaves of corn, all for the harvest festival. Well, when you come to think of it, every week, the person who does flowers at the altar is giving back the fruits of their activities. And it's a matter of honour with us to try as much as we possibly can to do the altar flowers with flowers from our own gardens. That's not always possible. I mean, when it comes to Christmas, you don't have a great many flowers in your garden. But we do, we try to do that. And since we have a rota of flowers all the year, practically every woman who attends church has one week in which she gives back to the church her own efforts, which I think is a lovely idea.
Now, you coordinate all this, so...
Not all of it, no. Oh. No, there are half a dozen people or so who do the different festivals.
I see.
Now, I inherited Christmas because a friend of mine died. I suppose the person who was doing the list looked round and said, "Ah, Ilsha's not far away. She can take this over. She likes flowers." So I gathered in Christmas for my efforts.
And it isn't just it isn't just a matter of of saying it's Christmas flowers again this time, do you presumably think, what shall I do this year?
Oh, yes. Mm.
So
although being Christmas, Christmas is holly, not so much mistletoe. We don't often bring mistletoe into church, but we bring holly and greenery and flowers which throw up the beauty of the holly.
But you must go in each Christmas, and we're coming up to Christmas again now, and say, what shall we do this year? Or do you have...
We don't.
You have very much the same theme.
We have very much the same thing.
Tell me about that theme. What did you decide was right for Albury Church?
Well, I've never put it into words or even thoughts very much before. The church is a comparatively young church, so that, of course, don't forget we have the Saxon church as well, which we decorate. But you're talking about the village church.
The new church, as it were.
Mm-hmm. The new church, yes. It lends itself to different things. Of course, there are the altar flowers. That is usually lilies. It's white. Then we usually have a pedestal to the left of the altar, which throws up the beauty. The end of the church is beautiful. So we have a large pedestal which throws up the beauty of that. And that the person doing that, who usually is Mavis Savage, incidentally, she's a very, very fine flower arranger. She decides what she thinks will be the best colour to set off the church. And it's nearly always red with a little white, perhaps, to set it off. Then greenery to a very great extent throws the whole thing up. Now, with flower arranging, that is always the case. The greenery is almost more important than the flowers, because without it, they look like a pig with one ear. It just doesn't look right. Mm-hmm. So the greenery is... Now, what is available for this Christmas, this year? Now, for instance, Harvest Festival is coming up. As you came in, you may have noticed that I had a bed of dahlias.
I must
confess, it's all right. Don't worry. No. Well, I grow those dahlias simply and solely for Harvest Festival. This year, the season is all cockeyed. So, I shall use them when I need to, but when it comes to Harvest Festival, I may be forced to buy. And I don't like doing that, because I want to give of my own efforts. But there are occasions when we just can't do it.
Lovely to grow things with a definite view in mind.
Oh, yes. You see, I have a tiny little garden. So if I want to draw on my garden, I have to organise myself.
Tell me a little bit more about this, the techniques of flower arranging. It's fascinating. You say you throw up this backdrop as a of greenery,
yes,
as it were.
Well, oh dear, you have set me a problem.
I suppose it's like asking any person with a craft how they do it. I mean, there's a great deal to it.
Yes, you have to see it in your mind's eye before you start. Incidentally, I belong to a flower arrangement group. I go and I watch people who are infinitely more clever than I am. And I try to get ideas from them. Well, when they're doing a flower arrangement, they start by creating the shape of what they are going to finish. Shall we say, they start with something which is going to provide the height that the whole thing is going to produce. Then they will take the bottom corners, so to speak. You may not have noticed that when you have, shall we say, a pedestal, which is the general main thing for the church, we try and get something which flows down. You don't want to look at a lump of flowers like a triangle, for instance. You try to make it as graceful as possible. You try to accentuate the shape of the pedestal, which is usually wrought iron and quite attractive. So we try to do that. You get the height, you get the general width, then you gradually fill in from there. The flowers don't come for a long time. You work with your greenery. And you make, very often I look at demonstrators and I think, oh, you can stop there. That's when they finish with the greenery. That's beautiful in itself. And then they start putting in flowers. And we try to do the same kind of thing.
Oh, that's fascinating. I so agree with you that it is fascinating to watch other people in your own field.
Oh, yes.
And you suddenly see something and you think, oh, that's good.
That's right.
I must pinch that and make it my own, as it were. Although one wouldn't pinch it, but I must. It's a compliment to them, isn't it?
It is. You see, a great many of people, there are a number of people in the village who go to the flower group. That's over at Horsley. And we try to learn by it. And what we learn, we put into effect in the church.
Marvellous. Now, tell me a little tiny bit also about you. I believe you send produce to the Cheshire Home. Is that after the service?
That's after the Harvest Festival.
Mm. Do you take that over there personally?
No. Somebody, I'm not sure if the rector himself does that, but it is taken by somebody from the church. Believe me, I don't want to take over everything. A long stride from that. Oh, dear me, no. But everybody in the church needs to have a finger in the pie, to be part and parcel of it. And that's why I think that those who do the altar flowers every week, every single one who does the flowers, is giving of their own labours to the church.
It is an act of praise, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Mm. It's giving back where it was given from.
Which is certainly in Harvest Festival is the whole essence.
Oh, yes.
We plough the fields and scatter.
That's right. Mm. But every week we do a little bit of the same thing. Mm. It's important, I think.
Do you get together as a group and compare notes ever and say, you know,
no,
your display on the
Oh, no. No, we don't get together. We have evolved somehow or other. And the one who is doing the one particular festival will ring all those who in the past have been in the habit of helping and saying, will you be able to do so-and-so this year? And that particular person will decide what they will do themselves. We'll perhaps say, at Christmas, we're trying to get red as a main theme. We don't bring yellow in at Christmas. It seems out of place. Yellow, spring, summer, yes, but not at Christmas.
That was what I meant, I think, when I was sort of grappling with the idea of a theme earlier on.
Yes.
That's very interesting. And then Harvest Festival, it'll be a blaze of everything.
That's right. Mm. Which is why I try and grow those dahlias, which are absolutely garish in their reds and yellows and oranges. But they're right for Harvest Festival. But at Christmas, oh dear me, no.
And this, you say the season is cockeye, which indeed it is. It's been remarkably wet for August. What are we going to have this year?
Must wait and see what is still available at the time.
Mm. Now, if you could cast your mind back, I wonder whether it's the little sort of snapshots of people's associations with the church.
Yes. Of course, we're a fair distance from the church, and we always used to walk down. I had a great aunt, the one that I told you owned this house, or at least lived in this house. And she used to, she was a regular churchgoer. She was a dear old soul. And she used to take us with her down. We walked through the Warren. And it was in better shape in those days. It used to be comparatively easy and comfortable to walk down there. It's not so good now. Anyway, she used to take us with us, and I know she felt that if we had a good beginning at the church, eventually we would pick it up. And that's quite true. I have. I don't think anybody else in the family has, come to think of it. But anyway, I have. And my memories of those walks down there, one of the most vivid that I have is a winter's morning. There had been a hard frost the previous night, and after there must have been a fire at some time in the park, because after a fire, foxgloves grow. No, this couldn't have been the winter. Wouldn't have had foxgloves if it had been the winter. No, it was at the time of the foxgloves, and after a fire, the foxgloves fill the space left by the fire. Well, I remember this morning, with frost on the foxgloves and frost, hoarfrost on the branches of the trees, and it was one of the most beautiful memories that I've ever had. It was wonderful. It used to make walking down very interesting. Birds, animals. Oh yes, in those days, of course, this is going back a bit. In those days, we saw a great deal more of wildlife than one does now, I'm afraid. Although nowadays, we are still able to see the odd deer and a few rabbits. But in those days, we did see a lot. And of course, the bird song in the warren is wonderful. Absolutely. We are so fortunate to live in a place like this. You know, even here, there are so many birds round that quite often I go out with a coffee I never have a coffee in the house if it's reasonable weather. I always take it outside and listen to the birds.
Mm. Yes, it is marvellous.
It is. It's wonderful.
And your route down to the church, was it down Aubrey Hill in the same way and turn left at the bottom, or did you go...
Oh, no. The Warren is next to just beyond the old schoolhouse, mm-hmm. where I was brought up. Incidentally, my first memory of there, going to the Aubrey School, I had a brother and two other sisters. And the first day that I went to school, I remember my brother picked me up and put me on his shoulders and took me to school that way. That is still very vivid in my memory, possibly because I can't imagine anybody attempting anything like that now.
So you, in fact, went out of your drive and then across the Warren.
I love the way he says it, your drive. Out through the up the path, straight up the common, across the common, we just crossed the road, down the hollow and up by the schoolhouse, and then beyond the schoolhouse, down through the wood, which goes, one of the paths of which goes straight down to the church.
To the church, yes, I know it, yes.
And that was our route.
That was your route.
Yes.
And then do you recollect the first time you saw the church, the first time you were in it? Can you remember that at all as a child?
Could it be? No, I can't. My first memory is with my great aunt. Before that, well, I was probably with her the first time I went to church. Incidentally, the boy that I married was in the choir, so I have a rather strong feeling that one of my earliest interests in church was the boy that I was looking at in the choir. I have a very strong feeling that applied.
Now, I talked to one of the choir boys the other day, Godfrey Gillett.
Ah, yes.
Who was
yes.
one of that little group of choristers.
Yes, yes. Oh, Reg used to sit right at the end, where I could see him very well, and he could see me. Oh yes, we had a very good, we had quite a good contact that way.
Well, Godfrey showed me a photograph of that choir, so presumably your Reg would have been in that photograph as well.
It could be. I don't know. I never got as far as photographs. I was just interested in him.
And do you recollect that regular Sunday visit the formality of the service and the sermons and the rest of it?
I wasn't interested in the sermons. I was interested in Reg.
How long did this go on for before he discovered this?
Actually, he and I were together for We were married at the beginning, about a couple of years before the war began, and then he was killed at Alamein. So, and fortunately, I had a son. If I hadn't had John, I don't quite know. Well, anyway, I had, so I was very fortunate. And carried on bringing him up. But after Reg was killed, well, I came back and I resumed in Albury.
Going back to those days when you as a child, teenager in the choir?
Child to begin with.
So you knew and admired him for many years.
Oh, my goodness me, yes. Oh, yes. You're once seen, never forgotten. Oh, yes, that was... there was no doubt in my mind at all.
That's wonderful. I wondered about your impressions of the building itself. It's an interesting building, isn't it? It's a surprising building in that it's in red brick.
To me, it was the building that held Reg. I've got to be honest about it. I never thought of it as a building in particular. It was the church, which I accepted without any qualifications at all. It was a very nice church. It had quite a climb up to it, which I find more these days than I did in those. In fact, I have had occasions when I've walked down through the Warren and I've had to run all the way to get to the church in time to start the service. Yes. I never thought of it architecturally.
Which is a good thing, really, to do, isn't it? Not to think of the church as being a building, but as a much greater thing.
I accepted it. It was my church. And it's always been my church. Quite often people say, but Shear is so beautiful. Shear is not my church. Quite simply.
So you love it for itself?
Yes. Yes, it means an enormous amount to me. I was christened there. I was christened late in life. My mother was Scottish, and in Scotland they are christened when they're old enough to take their own vows. Well, it worried me that I wasn't christened. You see, when Reg and I thought about getting married, I said, but I can't, I'm not even christened. So we trotted along to Mr. Gray, who was the rector at that time, and told him our problem. He said, simple, I'll christen you as you are. So my husband was one witness, and my future mother-in-law was the other witness. It was quite very simple. Then we got married, then the war came along, and that was it.
Other memories of the people who surrounded you there, the rectors and the vicars and the curates and so on, who do you remember of the...
Oh, Mr. Gray, the one who christened and married me.
Tell me about him.
He was a very, very well-educated gentleman. His wife was a doctor. They lived in the rectory next door. And I liked him enormously. His sermons were something to be thought about. In fact, his sermons even had me thinking about them very deeply. And that took some doing in those days, I might tell you. Yes, he was a wonderful man. Yes, he certainly was the one that I remember most.
And what about fellow members of the congregation? The Duchess of Northumberland in particular seems to have been a very powerful memory for many people.
She was. We had a very great respect for her. I remember clearly seeing her and her friends and family walking across the park, then crossing the... In those days, I used occasionally to go down the hill, not through the Warren. She used to walk across the park, across the road, across the 10-acre field, and to church that way. It was never nasty, miserable weather in those days. It was always nice. The ground was always reasonable to walk on. Isn't it funny the way one thinks back? Anyway, yes, I remember her. She was a very dignified lady. And she always sat in the front row on the left of the church. And I used to be very interested in the clothes that she wore. As children, as girls do. Yes, she was a very fine person. She used to provide the... every year we had bonfire night up on the heath. And she used to provide the wood for the bonfire. And I remember going up there when my son was... Oh, he was a tiny little chap. About four, I suppose, in those days. And we were standing round looking at the bonfire, and he trotted up to her and took hold of her hand and said, "I'm ever so glad you were able to come." I remember it very clearly.
That's lovely.
Yes.
Mentioning sort of church occasions, did you go up, I gather that occasionally the service would go up to Newlands Corner?
No, for the horses, the horse service. No, I didn't go up there.
The horse service?
Yes, they used to go up there and bless the horses.
Oh, were there horses up there? Or these
oh,
people
yes, the horse riders.
Hmm.
Oh, yes, but I didn't go up there. I guess that, you know, since I walked to church and walked back, I couldn't imagine myself voluntarily walking up to Newlands Corner as well.
As well, no.
That was far enough.
Also, you've talked about the clergy who you remember, the people who you most remember, or one of the people you most remember in the congregation. I wonder whether what a great occasions there were in the time that you've known the church that you can recall.
Now that I think you're going to have to get from others.
Well, there's one or two incidents that you might know. For instance, Gerard Sherman described to me the new windows being installed in the church and how they put the lights up outside.
No, I don't remember that at all. Probably that was one of perhaps that was before I started going. I think it must have been before I started going to church.
But it was just after the war, apparently.
After the war? Oh, oh well, I did then.
There was a flying bomb, I believe.
Oh, yes, it blew out. But I don't remember it being replaced. No, I wasn't there when that happened. Mm-hmm. I guess perhaps I was doing more looking after my little boy.
Mm-hmm.
Which perhaps...
is a full-time occupation.
Well, it tends to be
yes,
that.
Yes, I know.
Yes. Yes, I don't... I didn't go back to the same extent. I remember very, very vividly the Remembrance Day services. Yes. They mean a lot, of course. And in those days, we had the Red Cross... the guides and the scouts. And that tailed off, unfortunately.
Looking back over the years, how would you say Albury has changed in the years that you've known it? The Albury Church and its the activities that went on around it have changed over the years.
Well, to begin with, I wasn't so... connected with outside activities of the church. The flower arranging, of course, has brought me very much into it. And another thing about flower arranging, it is a great thing for making friendships and retaining friendships. Flowers are very, very helpful that way. But as far as the church activities themselves were concerned, I didn't take part in them at all, really, until I became connected through the flowers. I'm very, very sad that we shall no longer have the rectory next door to the church, because I think we lose a great deal by that.
What's happening? Why is that so?
Well, I'm not sure that I ought to be saying this.
Oh, well, don't if you feel
no,
it.
No, I think I'd better keep out of
all
it.
All right, OK.
It's...
It's being sold off, is it?
Or? It's being sold off. Mm-hmm. When Mr. and Mrs. Gummer came, for one reason or another, they didn't want to go there. And the house up at Farley Green, in which they live now, was bought for them. And because, well, the diocesan council have to, they can't have a dead horse sitting down there. So it's being sold. I'm very sad about that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there we are. Of course, our village hall is also... Anyway, that's beside the point.
It was more about the church and sort of church activities and people's involvement in the church that I was thinking.
Yes.
Would you say that Albury Church is as alive and as important in the community as it was?
I don't think it has as many people there now as it used to have, but then... We don't seem to have the number of young people in the village, because the type of work which young people were able to do at that time was available. It is no longer available. They have to go to the towns to get work. We had local builders. We had three builders in the village at one time. Well, builders had employees, and they took young people on to teach them the jobs. Well, that no longer exists, and since the young people have to go farther away to get work, they are taken away from the church. Mm. We had a draper in the village. We had the butcher. We had two bakers. We had a tailor. Well, none of those exist now. And take away the employment, and you take away the young people who are learning those trades. It's practically inevitable. So that the congregation gets older. And it's very difficult to replace the young people.
Yes, it's quite true. This is a feature of village life
everywhere,
isn't it?
Yes.
And here we all are commuting up and down to London.
That's it.
And we're not involved in our own local communities.
There's no blame attached to them at all. It's just... It has evolved. Mm. I'm very sad about it. But it happens.
It does, indeed. That's wonderful, Ilse. Any other little thing that you wanted to add? I wondered about any other little memory or any sort of feeling about Albury Church. I mean, you clearly love the place.
Oh, yes, I do. It's mine. No, I can't think of anything else. I certainly am a regular churchgoer. In fact, if for any reason I'm unable to attend church for 1 week, I feel the lack. It gives me infinitely more than I can give it. I think that's about it.
That's wonderful.